So whenever I teach about shadow, I like to give a little bit of a, I like to start out in this way. I want to invite you to really watch for your own shadows or resistance and see if they creep up during our time together today. We're going to be going in deep and quick, and working with shadow can sometimes be a little bit triggering if you're not self-aware. So we're going to be diving deep today, but we're not going to go nearly as deep or detailed or intense as when I do a full training on shadow and archetype and we're in the room together. So, the chances are slim that the triggers will come up for you, but still, I want you to be on the lookout for your own resistance. I want to invite you to check yourself, right? And here's some things to look for. If you notice that you're getting angry, if you notice that you're going into feeling helpless, if you notice that you're feeling very judgmental of yourself or maybe of me, if you notice that you're getting confused on something that normally you wouldn't get confused on, these are all signs that your own shadow material is up for you. And that's good news, right? Like that, because we're in this container together, if you check yourself, you'll see it and you'll be able to work with it. So if you notice it, just call yourself out, notice it. It will really help you and you'll be able to be more present if you check it out, if you check yourself, and then it'll help you to go deeper. Okay. So all that being said, let's start with a very short assessment so that you can get really clear for yourself on where in your coaching practice things would accelerate and lift off really quickly if you were to apply deeper shadow techniques. So I've got a couple of assessment questions for you, and here they go. First question, if you've got a coaching or healing practice, what percent would you say, roughly, what percent of your clients are struggling to overcome persistent patterns or habits that hold them back from their desired goals? What percentage of your clients are struggling to overcome persistent patterns or habits that hold them back from their desired goals? And if you don't yet have a practice, you can answer this on a scale of 1 to 10. How much is the fear of not being able to help clients overcome persistent habits or patterns? How much is that fear holding you back from really moving into your practice and taking action? All right, next question. Take a moment and notice if you have any clients that tend to get stuck in victim mode. They tend to get stuck as their victim self. And if you do, just write their names down. Notice, take stock if you have any clients that tend to get stuck in jealousy mode or overly comparing themselves to others. If they are, that's likely a shadow issue. And just write their names down just so you can see for yourself. Do you have any clients that tend to get stuck it, as the judge? They are overly judgmental, either of themselves or others, or they get stuck in anger. Write their names down. That is a sign that shadow might be rolling around in there. Or maybe they get stuck in the opposite. Do you have any clients that have the tendency to kind of become like a doormat with others? They don't have strong boundaries. they get taken advantage of. Write their names down. That's a sign that that some shadow might be showing up there for them. What about clients who stall actions, who put off work, who don't show up for themselves, who self-sabotage? Write their names down. And then also the opposite. If you have clients who overwork, take over responsibility, who push themselves way more than is aligned for them, that's a sign that there might be some shadow hanging out there with them. Write their names down. Two more questions here for assessment. Do you have any clients who tend to project their stuff onto you? They project, you know, their family stuff onto you, their anger onto you, their victimhood onto you, any of that. If you do, write their names down, it's good to note that they likely have some shadow pieces coming up. And then last question, do you have any clients where you project some of your stuff onto them? This is probably the hardest question. I want you to be honest with yourself, but do you have any clients where you are maybe tend to get scared that they'll be angry at you? Or you compare yourself to them, or maybe you project any kind of victimhood in the situation or with their situation onto them, or you're constantly wondering what they think about you. That might mean that there's some shadow stuff up for you. Okay, so hopefully those few questions are just starting to give you a little bit of a sense. There's so many more I could have asked, but for the sake of time, hopefully those are starting to give you a little bit of a sense of where shadow might be showing up for you in your work. So I want to share with you a personal story about one of my own shadows, just for a few minutes, because I think this is a good introduction as we're moving into now what shadow actually is. So I want to just share with you a personal story. So many years ago, when I was in my first business, I had a business partner, and she's an incredible woman, still to this day, one of my closest friends. And we, the work that we did together was we facilitated women's circles. And the way that we would prepare our circles is that, we would create the circle, we would create the outline, and then beforehand we would decide, I would take certain pieces, and my partner, Dawn, she would take some other pieces, and that's how we would facilitate. And what would happen for me the first year that we worked together was every time we would start to split up who would take what pieces, I noticed I would internally kind of turn into a total weirdo. I would really want certain pieces to facilitate, the ones that were really big, the ones that were really powerful. But I would get scared that Dawn would think that I was trying to be more powerful than her, or that I was trying to take something away from her. And so I would let her take the bigger pieces. But then when we would get to actually facilitating the circles, I because there was a part of me that really wanted to be seen and really wanted those bigger pieces, I'd be sitting there in the circle, and without even realizing it, and this is not who I am normally, I would start to talk over Dawn, or she would facilitate a big piece And then it would be my turn to go into the next piece, but I would kind of backtrack into her piece. And, you know, because Dawn is a very nice and patient person, she didn't say anything about this for a while, but it was really starting to cause problems. I was anxious all the time that she was being more seen than me, that she was bigger than me. But at the same time, I was also anxious that I was taking something away from her. And I had this, like, you know, shame that I was trying to be too big. And I had this whole internal dance going on, not to mention outside of that partnership with me and Dawn, I was constantly scared that other people's businesses were going to be bigger than ours, that, you know, other people were going to come up with our ideas and steal them. It was this constant push and pull, you know, competition and wanting to be big and feeling shame about wanting to be big and then sabotaging because of it. And this went on for a while, until finally Dawn did say something, and it was an opportunity. You know, it kind of hit me in the conversation I was having for her that there was something very deep at play, something even bigger than my fear that was at play there. And, you know, what I was able to see as I started exploring this was that there was a part of me that really wanted to be so big and so seen and even better. I wanted to be better than everyone else, but I was so ashamed of that part of me. I was so scared of that part of me that wanted to be so big. I had vilified that part of me that I had literally rejected it. You know, I had cut it off from myself. I had put it into the shadow. I pretended it wasn't there. And what was happening was that part of me was wanting expression. And that's why it was coming out in all of these not so great ways. Once I was able to see that, I was able to work with that part of me that I thought was so disgusting and so gross and so awful, that part of me that was competitive and that wanted to be really, really big. I was able to start to become friends with it. And what happened for me through that process is that not only did things start to work so much better between Dawn and I, we both were able to shine and be seen and be big and be empowered, but the other thing that happened was I had, you know, the anxiety about the competition with other people and, you know, who was going to be bigger and, you know, all of that, it subsided and it allowed our business to really, really grow. So hopefully that little story is just starting to, you know, stir the pot for you a little bit. It's a great example of shadow. So what is shadow? Well, the phrase gets thrown around a lot in the transformational and coaching industries, but very few people actually understand what it means. And that's the first and most vital part as a practitioner, to really understand what the shadow is. Because when coaches aren't aware that a shadow archetype or energy is at play for either yourself or a client, that's when you're prone to either make your client wrong or yourself wrong, or just have absolutely no idea what to do. You try all of your other tools, but nothing works. So even if you take nothing else from today beyond the ways that I'll be defining what the shadow is and how to identify it, then you're already way ahead of the game in your coaching practice, and way ahead of most coaches and practitioners in the field. So I'm going to give you a couple more examples of shadow, and then we'll take a look at its definition. These, I like to give these examples because I think they make it really real before we get into the intellectual of, you know, what this means. So here's another example of shadow. You're out one night, maybe with some girlfriends, and one of your girlfriends that you're close with, maybe she mentions that she just had an incredible launch in her business that was really lucrative. You're very happy for this friend, yet something starts nagging at you because it's that you've really been wanting that too. You've really been wanting that big launch, that big successful launch. And even though you're usually a totally caring and compassionate and supportive person, before you know it, you're unwittingly, just like it's out of even your power, you're unwittingly shaming your friend in front of the entire group. Maybe you start criticizing her choice in romantic partners, or maybe you share an embarrassing and personal story about her. Maybe in this very sideways sort of way, you belittle her or her work. It's almost as if there was a predatory energy that is totally at odds with your regular nice girl self that was lodged deep inside of you. And it came out without your being able to control it, to hurt your friend and ultimately to hurt you. And it's doing this almost without your consent. Here's another example. Let's say you've just signed the most amazing, the most ideal client ever, and you're so excited about working with this client. Yet somehow, even though you're usually very organized and a very responsible person, you come to that first meeting with the client unprepared. Or maybe somehow by mistake, you stay out way too late the night before your first meeting with that client and you show up exhausted. It's as if your entire life, you are almost like a hyper responsible person, overly responsible, almost too responsible in a way that it puts so much pressure on you. But it always seems like at the exact wrong moment, your inner lazy one or your inner sloth abruptly comes out to sabotage you. Here's one more example. Maybe you have an acquaintance, but you cannot stand this acquaintance. She gets on your nerves and really ticks you off nearly every time you see her. And here's why: because she is incredibly self-confident. She clearly loves herself a lot, and she clearly thinks that everything she does is very valuable and very worthwhile, and that really gets your goat. You hate to admit it to yourself, but you judge her because she isn't modest enough, and you're almost like the model of modesty. You usually downplay your brilliance, and actually you've suffered because you downplay your brilliance. Maybe because of it, you haven't marketed effectively or haven't networked effectively. But this acquaintance, she's self-confident, and you find yourself criticizing her in your head all the time. So take a moment. Any of these or my story sound familiar to you, for you or your clients or people that you know? Each of these three situations are examples of the shadow at work. And each and every human being on this planet, and each of your clients included in that, have got shadow energies running through them. Shadow is often active when your clients self-sabotage or become helpless, or when they just can't seem to move out of a stuck bad habit or pattern, or when they're constantly angry or judging themselves or others. So what is the shadow exactly? Well, Carl Jung first identified it, the psychologist Carl Jung, and here's how he identified it. You're going to want to write this down. The shadow is the parts of yourself or your personality that you don't consciously identify with. So what that means is that your shadows are the parts of yourself that you have either rejected or not recognized. You've either rejected them or you haven't recognized them because somewhere in your mind, you have decided, your mind or your heart, your soul, your body, somewhere you've decided that these parts of yourself are either unacceptable or shameful or absolutely not allowed. They're the parts of yourself that you've either rejected or just haven't even recognized because you've decided somewhere that those parts are unacceptable or shameful or not allowed. And the shadow is a part of yourself that probably at a young age, you made a contract with yourself to not be that thing. Probably at a young age, you made a contract with yourself to not be that thing that you've put into shadow. So let me give you some examples of that. Maybe when you were younger, your father had trouble holding down a job. And maybe because of it, your family was often stressed out, or maybe even at risk of bankruptcy. If that's the case, you may have decided at a very young age that laziness was bad and that there was no part of you that was ever going to be lazy or irresponsible. And because you made this decision, because you made this contract, that there was never going to be a part of you that was going to be lazy or irresponsible, to be vigilant about this, you swept away, as you got older, you swept away any impulses to relax or have space. You just swept those impulses under the rug, and instead, you became hyper-responsible. So much so that your responsible nature gets in the way now as an adult of you having enough time for yourself, or it gets in the way of taking pleasure in your life, except for maybe here and there when you become super lazy at the exact wrong moment. Here's another example of that sacred contract. Maybe when you were younger, you were exposed to someone whose actions were very angry, or whose energy was very, very angry in a toxic way. And you became scared of everybody's anger. Anger was something that you came to fear, including your own anger. Or maybe even as you got a little older, you had a partner who snapped out of control when he didn't know where you were. Or maybe you had a parent who screamed and yelled when you didn't perform well at school. It was a kind of toxic anger. And if that's the case, maybe you decided at some point, without even realizing it, that any and all anger is bad and wrong and hurtful and damaging. You just decided that anger is bad, end of story, and that you were never going to be angry. But because of that, now as an adult, even if somebody crosses a boundary with you or mistreats you, you don't get angry. You just allow them to cross that thing. To cross that boundary. You don't feel your anger or express your anger. Instead, maybe you act like a doormat and you get taken advantage of, or maybe you overgive. But every now and again, maybe your anger comes out in ways that you can't control. Maybe road rage, or you just go off on a loved one. It's so out of character for you and you have no control over it. So hopefully what you're beginning to see is that the shadow actually contains natural, normal, and vital parts of yourself and your clients, but it's just that you decided, or they decided at a very young age, that they would never be that. So the shadow contains natural, normal, and vital parts of yourself. But here's the thing, this is important. Because you've decided to reject the shadow, because you've decided that this part of you is unacceptable, because you've disenfranchised this natural, normal, vital part of yourself, it begins to wreak havoc on you, or you know, for your clients, right? It wreaks havoc on their lives and their projects. Because any part of yourself that you reject or that you repress, it's still there. It's still inside of you, and it's going to try and come out in one way or another. Now, when that part of you isn't disenfranchised, when you recognize it, when you own that part of you, you have control over it. You can leverage it. But when you don't recognize that part of you, when you've rejected that part of you, when you've disenfranchised it, that's when it becomes shadow. That's when it gets stronger and stronger and uglier, and it controls you. So when these parts of your clients are disenfranchised and they're in shadow, instead of your clients fully owning and accepting a part of themselves, one of three things can happen. So I'm going to describe these three things that can happen when something is in shadow. And see if you can recognize some of this either in yourself or in your clients. So one thing that can happen when you've rejected a part of yourself, put it into shadow, and it has control over you, as opposed to you having control over it, is that it accidentally gets turned on the self. It self-sabotages, essentially. So here are some examples of that. Maybe your client is generally very responsible, but somehow she puts off the most important presentation until the very last minute, and it really messes her up. Or maybe you have a client that can follow a meal plan beautifully for a while, but then she just goes on an eating bender. Or maybe you have a client that overworks to the detriment of enjoying her life, and even to the detriment of the work itself. Maybe you have a client that saves money and saves money and saves money, but then spends it recklessly. Or maybe she just can't seem to save. Maybe you've got clients that back down when competition comes up, and they just go into a victim and helpless mode when it comes to competing in one way or another, right? So that's one way to know that shadow is up, if your clients are accidentally turning it on themselves. Here's another way that shadow can show up. It gets recognized in others. So this is a classic, you spot it, you got it, right? It was that example that I gave with the modesty and the self-confident friend. If you spot something in someone else and it really gets your goat, like you really can't stand it and you're overthinking and overjudging this person and it really triggers you, chances are the thing about this person that's triggering you is something that you've put into shadow for yourself. So for example, if you can't stand someone who is just totally full of herself, like I was saying earlier, someone who's so big and shiny, right? Chances are you've put that into shadow. If you really get triggered by someone who's too talkative, chances are that there's a part of your self-expression that you've put into shadow. If you know someone who's constantly lazy and irresponsible, and again, it's not just normal concern for the irresponsibility, but it really it triggers you. It gets you so much. You're constantly, it really gets you. Chances are you've got something around that in shadow. If you know someone and you're constantly judging that they're too sexual, that they're just too in touch with their sexual selves, you think they're slutty, and it really gets to you, like it really, really, really upsets you, even though that person isn't harming herself or anyone else, chances are there's part of your sexuality that you've put into shadow. Okay, so that's the second way you spot it, you got it. And then here's the third way that shadow can show up for people. You accidentally turn the energy on others. So this is mostly stuff that you may not even realize that you're doing, or it happens by accident. You just can't help it. So road rage is a great example. You know, if you've got anger and shadow and then you just like kind of snap it, you know, on the road, turn it on others. That's an example. If, you know, just out of nowhere, you know, the example I gave when you, about just like, you know, belittling a friend and you're almost like hearing yourself do this or betray someone and you don't, you can't even believe that you're doing it. It's coming out accidentally. You're turning it on others accidentally. Sometimes we can turn it on others when competition, if we've put competition into shadow and then we do some things that are maybe out of integrity, like steal somebody else's idea, talk about them behind their back. That's another example of the energy being turned on others. Sometimes it's about making others feel guilty. If we've got our victim in shadow, we can be really good without meaning to at making other people feel really guilty. So let's pause here for a moment because I've been talking a lot. Take a moment and just write down for yourself, like what, you know, when you think about yourself, where does shadow show up for you? Where does it show up for you? What are some ideas that are coming forward there? So when you don't know how to work with your shadows, your clients' shadows, you know, all of the examples that I just gave, these are just some of the types of things and many others that can happen. But here's the thing. It's even more than just the sabotage that happens when a shadow is active for a client. In addition, what will often happen is that your client, if you're not really working with shadow in the right way and your client is actively inside of their shadow, she'll eventually get really frustrated with the work that she's doing with you. She may lose hope because she's not moving forward in the ways that she would like. And you might lose some hope too, or feel stressed out or drained because you just can't figure out how to move the client forward. Okay, but here's the good news about all of this. And what I'm about to say next is, I think, one of the most important things that I'm going to say today. Here where I think things get really exciting when it comes to shadow and where you have opportunity to make a massive difference in your client's life. The shadow energy, whatever it is that you're that's in shadow for your client, whether it's anger or competition or perfectionism or laziness or judgment, whatever it is, it isn't all bad if you can help your client address it correctly. And in fact, it's not bad at all if you know how to work with the shadow. Shadow coming up is actually an incredible opportunity for growth and healing. There's a ton of power and empowerment and creative energy in the shadow. Each and every human being actually needs all of their shadow parts. They need their shadow parts. Not in the icky ways that the shadow comes out when it's disenfranchised, but in its highest form. Some of your truest self is found in the shadow. And when you can help your clients own their shadows, it allows for your clients to have deeper self-acceptance, deeper self-love, deeper peace, and way more ability to accomplish their desires and their goals. Let me give you an example here. Let's take a look at anger. When anger is in shadow, when your client has rejected the anger inside of herself, it can show up either like it's on steroids. Maybe she has a tendency to scream at others, she's just getting angry at herself or others all over the place. Or that repressed anger, that anger in shadow can show up as repressed, back to that doormat example I gave, no boundaries, right? So it doesn't work out so well when anger is in shadow. But imagine for a moment if you could help your client access her healthy anger. Imagine if you could support her to turn her anger into a brilliance, into a superpower, into an asset for herself and for everybody around her. Maybe then this client would be able to set much better boundaries. Maybe she'd have full capacity to stand up for herself in strong but loving ways. Maybe she would finally feel less scared about other people getting angry at her. Maybe she would have very healthy ways to express the natural anger that comes through instead of letting that anger fester. And anger used in the right way actually is all about action. There's so much fire energy when it comes to healthy anger. It can snap you into aligned action and help get things done. So working with your client's shadow is a way to lovingly bring their truest, their most empowered selves out of the shadow and into the light. It allows them to change patterns and behaviors that don't serve. This is the missing piece around so much self-sabotage patterning. This is also the missing piece around folks not being able to fully accept their brilliance, their amazingness, and to leverage it for themselves. This is actually usually where the light shadow, the term light shadow, if you've heard it before, this is where it lies. The light shadow is the repressed part of your clients, the part of your client that your clients have swept under the rug that they actually really, really, really wish they could be, but under no circumstance believe that they are. And that's why they've rejected it for themselves. But if you can help unlock this shadow for them and claim it for themselves, then so much can happen for that client. Okay, so hopefully now you've got a good working understanding of what the shadow actually is, why it shows up, how it shows up, and how it works. As I said earlier, just this understanding alone of shadow is going to start to shift how you work with your clients and how you understand their obstacles, their patterns, and their stuck places. Now, we've still got a lot more to go today because I promised to share a 6-step technique that you can use when it comes to shadow. But before we do that, I want to take a pause here because I know I've been talking a lot. And I'd love to hear, what are some takeaways, maybe just from a few of you, if you want to raise your hand. And by the way, I'm not great with technology, so hopefully I'll be able to figure out how to do this Q&A thing. But if you want to raise your hand, I'd love to hear, what are some takeaways? What are some revelations? What are you learning so far? Let's see. I see some things in the chat. I'd love to hear somebody's voice. Oh, wait. I see people are raising their hands. Okay, my team showed me how to do this. And now, got it. Okay, Marnie. There you go, Marnie. Can you talk? Marnie, are you there? Let me try this again. There you go, Marnie. I've taken you off mute.
There we go. Okay, now I'm unmuted. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi. Okay. What are you taking away? What are you seeing?
So, as you know, I've already done some work with my anger shadow, And it shows up, I see it in clients a lot. So that was not a surprise. But for me, with some stuff that I've been doing, the lazy part came up, which that's a recent thing for me, because I've always been good about giving myself time.
Yeah.
But I'm needing more time for myself in my business. Not for business, but for me. And I'm struggling with the doer of, I got to get stuff done, not sit here on my butt, basically.
Yeah.
There's that judgment. So it shows up as this lack of self time for me. And that, I was like, oh, wow, that's why that's showing up.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
Yeah. Good. I'm so glad you can see it. Now that you can see it, you can start working with that a bit more. We'll get into the technique in a little bit.
Awesome. Oh, yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can put you back on mute here. No. There we go. Awesome. I'll take another share. Tina.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Joanna. I honestly, I've been doing so much shadow work myself personally. So much came up for me around, I would say, like, my upbringing and why a lot of things would trigger me. And I was really in a deep depression for the past 2 years, and I realized it was a lot of my shadow parts. So it was really interesting, because I was going through this, you know, soul journey of my own before I started coaching clients. And truly, I feel like it was kind of like my own test in navigating my own shadow. And so the beautiful part about what you said was, when you start working lovingly with the shadow is big, you know, what I started doing instead of hating it and self-sabotaging, because there was so much of that happening in my life. And I was, you know, yelling at my kids and, you know, whatever, projecting my stuff onto other people. But once I really started talking to it and friending it, these amazing things started opening up for me. So I actually started seeing it as a gift. And then every part of that very deep, dark, I wouldn't even call it dark, but heavy part of that shadow self in my childhood started layering off like an onion. It was like, it just started opening Pandora's box.
Yeah. Yeah. The acceptance piece is key. And we'll get to that when we look at the techniques. I'm so glad that you're able to see it. It feels like just what we're looking at is even clarifying that even more for you.
Yeah. And like I said, like you said, self-acceptance, translating into self-love now. Now I'm in a place of self-love. It took me 37 years to get there.
You know? Beautiful. Great.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay. I know there's a bunch more hands up. I'm going to lower them for now because I want to move into the technique, but I promise you we'll have plenty of time. I want to hear more takeaways, and we'll have time for more questions in just a little bit. But what I would love just for everybody right now, just to write down so far, what's one important piece that you're really taking away for yourself about your understanding of the shadow, or maybe it's a personal piece for you, or like an aha around a client. So far, what's, you know, kind of like one of the big takeaways for you? Let's have a moment of integration here, because I know I'm sharing so much in a very short period of time. Okay. So let's continue. I want to share with you a 6-step technique that you can use when you see that a client is stuck in a shadow energy. So step one, this is the most important step, and you've probably seen this so far in the call today, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention it. Step one, most important, is you want to be able to identify, claim, and own your own shadows. That's just so core. claim, own, identify, claim, and own your own shadows and work on your own fears, beliefs, triggers, and projections. I'm continually always working on nine. Because there's absolutely no way at all that you can help your clients leverage the power of their shadows if you aren't able to identify and leverage your own. First of all, because the more you work on your own shadows, the more you're able to identify your clients' shadows. But it's even more than that. The more you work on your own shadows, then the less you're going to bring your own projections and your own triggers and your own judgments and your own filters into the coaching and healing container. The more you work on your own shadows, the less likely your shadows will be to unconsciously engage with your client's shadows and then weaken the coaching container and the work that you do together. Your own inner work is incredibly vital in all aspects of your work with clients, whether you're working on shadow or anything else. I can't stress that enough. Your coaching tools, skills, and techniques will become more and more powerful the more evolved you are as a person. For example, there's no way that you can truly help a client set strong boundaries if you haven't examined your own fears around setting boundaries. Or it's very difficult to lead a client into authentic self-acceptance if you haven't done your own deep work around self-acceptance. And by the way, it doesn't have to be done, right? I don't want to, you know, no myth of perfection here. I'm constantly working on my own stuff, but you want to be in process with this. Or it's really hard to make progress with a client in really extraordinary ways if you hold unrealized triggers around that client. Maybe if their aggressiveness scares you, if you fear that they're angry at you and in their when they are struggling, or if you feel pressure to take over responsibility for them, or maybe you're unconsciously looking towards them for validation. All of this inner work is so important. And that's why in the Sacred Depths coach training, we don't look at a single coaching skill or technique without also diving deep into the inner work the coach needs to do around it. We go step by step by step through the intellectual framework of each skill, as well as the emotional and spiritual work that each practitioner needs to do around it. In Sacred Depths, we leave no stone unturned on the inner work. And even for people who already have decades of inner work under their belt, you get to see the full spectrum of your shadows, either with their repressed energy or your shadows with the steroid energy I was talking about before. And then this makes you even more masterful at seeing it right away in your clients. Okay, so that's step number one. You need to be able to really identify, claim, own your own shadows, work with your triggers, your projections, your beliefs. Step number two, you want to write this down, create awareness around your client's shadow. Create awareness around your client's shadow. So this step is all about supporting your client to really see that the stuckness or the self-sabotage that they're experiencing is motivated by their shadow. This step will help your clients identify the shadow energy, the actual energy, and you're going to help them make the direct connection between the shadow energy and their sabotage behaviors. This step is about helping your clients see how their shadow has been functioning in their life. And also to see that sacred contract that I was talking about before, so that they can see the sacred contract that they made, when they made it, why, and how they put this part of themselves, this energy, into shadow. So in some ways, this step is obvious. Right? Create awareness, help the client become aware of the shadow. But it's a very important part of the process and technique, and it's one that you want to do with care and with lots of space around it. And it's actually trickier than you might think if you don't have the proper creating awareness skills under your belt. And here's why. When a client is stuck in a shadow energy, they're literally not in their own energy. That might sound weird. I'm going to say that again. When a client is stuck in a shadow energy, then they're actually not in their own natural, normal energy. And because of that, they're not seeing themselves or the world through their regular eyes. They're not hearing through their regular ears. Instead, the energy of the shadow itself is what they are unconsciously embodying. And in that moment, the shadow is the filter through which they are understanding everything and perceiving everything. So for example, let's take the victim. Now, you probably know, well, I know from my own experience about the victim, that's one of the shadows that are that's big for me. You probably know from your own experience with yourself or others, when you're stuck in an energy loop like that of the victim, or like that of the angry one, or of the saboteur, it's not as simple. Like, it's not like someone can just tell you that you're acting like the victim, right? Someone, a coach, your partner, whoever, can try to show you, you know, when we're stuck in the victim shadow, we're in a place of helplessness, right? You know, so your coach, this coach can try to tell you that, you know, you're acting helplessly, you're in the victim. They can try to show you that things aren't so bad, but you probably know this for yourself. If you're stuck in that energy, then you can't take in that message. You can't see it, right? You're not hearing through your own ears when you're in the energy. So if, as the coach, you're not skilled at creating awareness, then your client will hear you call, your client will hear you, you know, call out the shadow energy, but they're not going to be able to understand it. They're not going to be able to really take it in. They may become angry or defeated or very confused, and they may make you, the coach, the enemy. Because again, the client is hearing through the shadow's filter, not her own. And that's one of the reasons why shadow is so tricky. So you want to really use your most advanced listening skills and your most advanced creating awareness skills when you do step number two, so that you know exactly how your client needs to discover this information about their shadow, so that you know exactly how to create the awareness around it. One client might need to hear it point blank, but another client may need it through a series of questioning. One client might need softness, another might need fierceness. You need those advanced listening skills and creating awareness skills to know how much information the client can take in right away. Your acknowledgement skills and your ability to hold a tight coaching container also need to be at tip-top shape for step number two. Because when you create awareness for a client around a shadow, it needs to be executed in a totally safe and trustworthy space with care and expertise, with acknowledgement of the client's brilliances and strengths, along with the acknowledgement of the shadow. Some clients are going to need to name it on their own. And so then that's really up to you as the coach to ask really tight, really focused, really good breakthrough questions to create the awareness. Other clients are going to need to hear it from you first. So again, in this step, in step number two, you want to help your client identify their shadow, as well as how it's been showing up for them and how it's been functioning for them. Depending on where the client is at, you'll want to ask questions and create awareness around the shadow energy itself, where it came from, where it was modeled for them, and the contract that your client originally made to put this energy into shadow, right? That's that sacred contract we were talking about earlier. And so then that moves us into step number three. And step number three is this, write this down. Support your client to see how their shadow has served. So this step actually goes hand in hand with the next step, step number four. You can write down step number four. It's support your client to move through shame. So step three is support client to see how their shadow has served. Step number four is support your client to move through shame. So let me explain why these two steps go together. People put their shadows into shadow because they're ashamed in one way or another of that part of themselves. They're ashamed of their angry one, or their competitive one, or their lazy one, or their powerful one. So because there's shame in there, or else it wouldn't have gone into shadow in the first place, that's why, as the coach, you really want to both help your client see how her shadow has served her, that up to this point, it's actually helped her out a lot. Right? So hint, hint, and you're probably already realizing this. The key to helping a client see how her shadow has served her is by helping her see the ways her shadow has protected her all of these years. Say that again. A big key here in step number three, which is supporting your client to see how her shadow has served, is to help her see the ways that her shadow has protected her all of these years. She wouldn't have made that sacred contract way back when if it wasn't there to protect her. So here's the next piece, which is very important. You don't want to just point blank tell this to your client in most cases. You don't want to tell her, well, your shadow has protected you. You as the coach may very well know, or you don't want to tell her why it's protected her. You want her to come up with a reason herself. Now, you as the coach may very well know the answer to this question for your client because you're deep and you're intuitive and you're smarty pants. But chances are that telling your client is not going to be the most effective and most empowering way to be able to create this awareness around how it served. So this is all about your ability as the coach to ask breakthrough questions, to really listen to the layers underneath the layers, not just of how the shadow has served, but also to understand what languaging is going to resonate the most for your client, so that their own inner wisdom can be activated. And then you can formulate questions that are going to empower your client to find the answers around this piece for themselves. You really need these solid questioning skills because remember, we don't like our shadows, right? We've rejected them. We don't even want to see how they've served. So the right kinds of questions are going to really help clients see that. Now, here's another very important nuance that I want you to know about. And there are so many nuances about human behavior when it comes to working with shadow, and we barely have time to get into them today, but I do want to share this nuance with you today. Part of the trick in step three in creating awareness around how the shadow has served is to first create awareness around the fact that the shadow is there to serve. I know that sounds obvious, but first you want to create awareness that the shadow is there to serve. So you can actually just say this to your client. just like this. The shadow has served you up until now. Up until now, it's made perfect sense to keep it in shadow. But now, it's no longer serving you. It's been coming up in our work now because it really is ready to shift and change and be used in a different way. So if you share this with your client, just this little nuance, this little piece of information is key because it will help your client see why they've been choosing to be sabotaged by this energy and shadow. But then what it will also do is really motivate them to want to change this shadow pattern and this shadow energy. And they're going to be motivated because you, the coach, in this trusting container, is acknowledging that your client is ready to change this. But it does something else, too, when you say those words to your client. It really sets them up for step number four. Remember, step number four is to support your client to move through the shame. When you share with your client that the shadow has served up until this point, that it's made perfect sense for her to keep this thing in shadow up until now, just that little statement does so much. It helps to begin to take the shame out of the shadow. We spend in Sacred Depths nearly a full module on learning how to support clients to move through shame, because shame, in my experience, is one of the biggest issues that's just rolling around under the surface for people. When you get to this step number four and help clients move through their shame, you want to be using all of your skills around holding space for deep emotion, especially anger. And you want to be using all of your skills around guiding clients to befriend their fears. Because as you probably know, a lot of fear is tied up in shame. And also for step number four, you want to be using all of your skills in helping clients to rewire their negative thought patterns. Because this is a moment where it's vital for your client to begin to literally change their neural pathway in their brain to start to own that shadow piece more. Okay, so that brings us to step number five. You want to write this down. Step number five is help your client identify the shadow's superpower. Help your client identify her shadow's superpower. So remember, as I was sharing earlier on the call, the shadow becomes a superpower when it is finally accepted, realized, claimed, owned, and loved. It's the highest level energy of that low-level shadow energy. But in order to get you there, you want to plant a seed for your client that this energy can actually contain a superpower, right? Before they can really own the shadow, you want to plant the seed that there's actually a superpower in there, and you want to help identify what the superpower is. Here's where you want to help your client see, for example, how they can use laziness consciously to their advantage, or how they can use their natural impulse towards competitiveness to do better in business without taking others down. So in this step, light bulbs are going to go off all over the place. And the intention that you as the coach want to keep in mind is that this step is about really motivating your client to want to deeply, deeply want to reclaim and own this part of herself and to love this part of herself and to see it as vital to her being able to thrive. This is the only way to begin to bring it out of the shadow. So this step takes some deep, deep listening on your part as the coach, because oftentimes at first, your client won't be able to see how this part of herself that she's loathed or ignored for decades, she's not going to be able to see how it can actually be a superpower. It's going to, like, she's going to, you know, she just may think that you're crazy, right? And it takes deep listening because it's not cookie cutter either. And what I mean by that is that my angry one's superpower might be different than your angry one's superpower. One client's angry one's superpower might be different than another client's angry one's superpower. Maybe for one, it's about setting really strong boundaries. For another, it's about that fiery action. So in Sacred Depths, we look really deeply at listening filters for coaches. You want to check every single last one of your listening filters so that you can really hear your client on this step. That's how you're going to help her identify the superpower. If you're not checking your listening filters, then you might be hearing through the filter of your own beliefs, limiting beliefs or fears or experiences. Now, this step might also require being able to support your client to either befriend their fear or rewire their negative thought patterns. Because it's one thing for your client to become aware of the shadow, but it's another thing to be willing to see that there's a superpower hidden there. It can bring up fear, and it can bring up a lot of those old, deeply implanted thought patterns. So if you are really adept at helping your clients befriend their fear, rewire their negative thought patterns, you'll get through this step way quicker. Okay, we've got one more step left, but before we get there, here's what I want to say. Up until this point, these first five steps, in a way, that's been the easier work here. Steps one through five, especially steps two through five, they've all been about creating the breakthrough. But there's a difference between a breakthrough and a transformation. And I want to talk about this briefly. This is really important as the coach or the practitioner for you to understand. A breakthrough, well, let me start with a transformation. Transformation, and this is what we ultimately really want for our clients. Transformation is about real, authentic, long-lasting inner and outer change. But that's different than a breakthrough. A breakthrough is when a client, through a session, receives a new piece of important awareness. When a client sees something new for the first time, really gets a piece, has a higher understanding of something. Breakthroughs are awesome. We want to be having breakthrough, you know, helping clients create breakthroughs all the time. But what sometimes happens in coaching is that lots of breakthroughs are created, lots of new information is brought to the surface, brought to awareness all over the place, but it's not necessarily creating the transformation, the long-lasting change. in order to create the transformation, you need to take the breakthrough, the new awareness, and apply persistent and consistent action to that new awareness, inner and outer, persistent and consistent action. And that's when you start to see those long-lasting changes, those long-lasting results. So steps 2 through 5 are really about the breakthroughs that your client needs in order to go into step number 6, which is about taking all of the incredible and powerful breakthroughs that you've helped them create and then going much deeper using those breakthroughs for the real and long-lasting change for to really be able to leverage the shadow. Step number 6 is as advanced, I think, as advanced as you can get as a practitioner. This is where you, as the practitioner, have the opportunity to support your clients into harnessing the raw power and energy of the shadow, so that your client can move into incredible self-love, into fresh motivation and inspiration, and into aligned action steps towards their goals. Step number 6 is really about working with energy and archetypes in out-of-the-box ways. And this is what step number 6 is. Support your client, write this down, support your client to lean into the archetypal energy of the shadow so that they can control the energy instead of the energy controlling them. I'm going to say that again. Support your client to lean into the archetypal energy of the shadow so that they can control the energy instead of the energy controlling them. So what does that mean? And why is it such advanced work? Well, when I say lean into, here's what I mean. This is very radical, what I'm about to say. So notice your triggers and your judgments and just stick with me here. Step 6, leaning in, is actually in a very safe way, guiding, supporting, leading your client to step in to the shadow energy, to step into their angry one, to step into their jealous one, to step in consciously. Here's the important part, right? Because up until now, they're doing this unconsciously. That's where the trouble lies. The breakthroughs in 2 to 5 will help them become more conscious. But then if you want them to leverage it, they need to consciously step in. Step into their victim. Step into their lazy one. Step into their perfectionist. Right now, this is going to be scary a little bit for them, maybe, right? Because they know that the shadow has been sabotaging them because they've hated this one. They've rejected this one. The last thing they want is to step consciously into their really competitive self, right? Back to my story with Dawn from earlier in this call, the last thing I wanted was to step into that one who wanted to be bigger than everyone else. I hated that part of myself. I was scared of that part of myself. I was ashamed of that part of myself, right? But if you do steps 2 through 5 correctly, it will be easier. And here's why you want to do it. Because you want to help your client learn how to manage that energy, how to use it for good, for for positive impact for herself and for everyone around her. If she's scared to consciously be in it, she's never going to be able to do that. So you want to lean in. Now, lean in techniques, and there are a number of them that you can choose from. Those take a while to train on effectively, because they're nuanced and they require a lot of understanding of human behavior. They're advanced and they take way more time than we have on this call. I do go step by step through them in Sacred Depth.